To Ours is the Puri, episode 32. I am Ryan.
I am Tim.
And I am Kendra.
And John is gone this week. He's in Costa Rica.
What a terrible life. Going to Costa Rica at the end of March. Terrible.
And he won't be back until the Montreal Impact play in Costa Rica. He's leaving the same time as the game.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. Oh, poor John.
So...
Yes, poor John.
Poor John. Down there in the sun while it's still snowy.
Oh, I'm sunburned.
Yeah. Sand in my feet.
So, anyway, little bit of news. Something minor happened with the Fury since our last episode. They signed a little-known player.
Some guy named, Julian de Guzman?
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Is that it?
I hear he has a famous brother.
Ooh.
So another one of those for the Fury.
We signed Julian de Guzman.
Julian de Guzman.
Captains Canada.
In a
Julian
Fury.
Julian de Guzman.
Jersey. In front of our eyes. At TD Place. Julian de Guzman. Now a member of the Ottawa Fury. I don't know how the Santos pulled this off. This is amazing.
I'm a little excited. Just a little.
Yeah. By far the biggest signing the Fury's ever made.
Arguably, maybe one of the biggest signings in the modern NASL history. Is that fair to say?
I think so. I think we can say that. Yeah. I mean, Julian de Guzman is on our team. I think that's fair to
it's
say.
It's up there with Senna and like...
Yeah, but Julian de Guzman still plays on their national team. He's still...
And still
and
is still amazing.
Awesome!
Yeah, he played 2 games this last week for the national team. I thought he looked quite well, so... So yeah, we don't know how much he was signed for, because we don't know anyone's salary. But I'm so happy we got him. He was on trial with Columbus Crew. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I read some things that he was released by the Crew, like they decided not to sign him. I've heard things that Julian wanted to play in Canada.
He did an interview a couple weeks ago saying that he didn't appreciate the fact that MLS wasn't really preparing Canadian players or developing Canadian players, using them. And I think his heart is really in developing the game in Canada. And so it really fits with Mark DeSantis's vision and just kind of the attitude of the team. And so then of course we saw the Fury's video where he's interviewed and he says, "I'm really excited to be playing in Canada again." So I think everything just fits together quite well.
Yeah, not only does he come back to play in Canada, but I think that he should start every game that he should for the Fury, so he can get, all those games in and get all the time he wants to prepare for the Canadian World Cup qualification that's coming up very soon.
The Gold Cup as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an exciting to have a player of his caliber here in Ottawa. It's a great signing. It's by far the best signing, obviously, in our short 2-year history. So it's going to be exciting to see him play. And rumor is he's playing this weekend in Carolina.
Yeah, it was nice. It's kind of nice to get some, national, media coverage for the Fury.
Yeah, some national attention. It was actually on Sportsnet.
Yeah.
So I guess then when Mark DeSantos and Benito Floro were talking after that TFC 2 game, maybe that's what they were talking about.
Yeah, he's like, "Hey, do you have Julian's number?"
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
So,
yes. So we should say that also that after he signed, he did play for Canada.
Yes.
So he suddenly became the first Fury
player
to play for the national team.
While with the Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Enough. Yeah, and the whole... NASL players don't play for Canada thing. Tim, maybe you can explain what's going on. Seems to be an uproar on the internet about this. The NASL players not playing for the national team.
Well, there's always an uproar on the internet about everything. But,
that's true.
But there was definitely every time the Canadian national team would announce their team, if it didn't have an NASL player on it, why is there no NASL player on it? When there's an Edmonton player on it when Hanson Boakai was called up. It's not why there's no NASL player on it. It's why there's no Fury player on it.
Right, right.
So this time around, there's no NASL player on it until we signed Julian DeGuzman.
Which you can't deny.
Yeah.
A national team spot. And I think it's fair the argument can be made that, say the Canadians that are in our lineup, who would they replace in the national team? Like, where would they fit in this current lineup? Like, the current lineup's pretty strong.
I mean, to Guzman aside, I think the only players that really deserve any sort of recognition is Trafford and Becky. Becky even, maybe not even.
You think you stick you if you get a look?
I think later on. I don't think right now.
Too young still.
But he definitely has potential to.
Yeah, he's only 21. I think if he gets more playing time this year and a little bit more experience under his belt, that might be something that to look at in the future. But he seems pretty solid at the moment. So.
But Trafford, I don't know who you take out of it. It's kind of a position of depth on the Canadian team with guys like Edgar defenders. And
yeah, all these long-time experienced European defenders.
Yeah.
Yeah, so going back to Julian, the final point is there's a lot of rumors and a lot of talk of this Julian DeGuzman versus Diro. Who are they going to sign? Diro, I believe, is 36, 37 years old, out of a contract. And I was saying right from the start that Diro is never going to play in Ottawa. Like, you'll never see Diro in a Fury jersey, and I'll still stick by that. Now, the reason I say that is because whenever Diro was mentioned to the coaching staff of the Fury, there would always be like kind of a sigh and then some sort of conversation about character on the team, the type of characters they want on their team. And that happened 3 or 4 times in the last year, people bringing up Diro. So it was pretty obvious that it was never a choice for the Fury coaching staff. I don't know if you've heard anything.
I mean, I'm sure it was a choice. I don't know how much he's asking for. He seems kind of the player to not take a pay cut to play for the Fury, as DeGuzman might have done. He does do a lot of charity work, and he's out there, and I think he'd definitely bring more of a crowd more to TD Place than DeGuzman would, but there's definitely some like off-the-field issues that he has with his teammates and...
Yeah. Who would you think would be a bigger impact player for the team? Who would make the biggest change on the field?
Oh, I think DeGuzman for sure.
DeGuzman's one of my favorite players in the world ever, so I'm always going to say Julian DeGuzman. Always.
Right.
I think DeGuzman probably would most likely play on the wing. I think we're kind of set there. I think with Oliver, Paulo Jr., and Hayworth, we're pretty much set, and we're pretty much, you know, content with those players playing that position. Midfield, on the other hand, was before the signing was pretty, you know, pretty thin. We're kind of expecting Patterson to do a lot this year. I think he provides a little more, dynamic. Because, you know, Richie Ryan and Ubi, while the great players they are, aren't running around the field all the time.
Yeah, and I'm just, the thought just came to my head of Julian DeGuzman giving service to Oliver and Paolo on the wings, and just amazing.
I think he can be also, like, we do have some young players, and I think he could be like a good mentor for some of the younger guys. And I think just like seeing him play in a few games, I've seen only one game live, but just watching him affect the game, I think it kind of brings everyone else up to his level. He seems like that kind of guy who will, you know, he's just a leader, and on the field and off. And obviously, I'm kind of, you know, like, he's my favorite player, so obviously
I'm a little bit biased.
I'm a little like starstruck at the moment and a little biased, but I just feel like I think he's going to affect the team in a really good way.
Yeah, it's pretty excited. We're everyone, all the soccer fans in Ottawa are excited about this signing, and predictions have changed about the Fury this year, and a lot more positive. I think some bloggers have rewrote their predictions.
Yes.
So, We're just going to talk a little bit about the Fury before we go into a break. We had two pre-De Guzman games, two preseason games. One was down in upstate New York. Was it Canton?
Canton, yep.
Playing outside in minus five.
Yeah, weather. That's not very good.
Oof, that's cold.
That sounds like, I don't know. I think you brought it up, Tim. You were saying it's not good for injuries.
No, and it wasn't.
But was it weather-related, that injury, you think?
Well, I just heard that he ran into a goalpost, so it doesn't sound particularly weather-related.
And the injury that we're talking about is Philippe Davies broke his arm and required surgery on
it. Quite serious. Fury Fanatic was keeping everyone up to date, and he was saying that they actually called an ambulance out to the field.
Yeah.
So
I did not pay attention that much because I was in the Borthwick Cup FIFA tournament.
Yes.
Representing the Stony Monday Riot.
You made it the furthest out of everyone.
Yes.
In the Riot.
But not very far. But.
So, yeah, Philippe Davies is injured, and you're saying he's probably out for how long? Like, estimate?
I think estimate's about 6 to 8 weeks, so it's probably pretty unlikely we'll see him in the spring season.
I mean, a break in your arm that needs surgery sounds pretty serious. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Well, we hope him a speedy recovery, and he was playing mid in the preseason games, right?
Yeah, he was playing mid, and I guess last year he didn't play mid. He played every other position, but...
It's true.
But he's definitely, you know, he's not definitely a starter every week, but he's definitely very valuable coming off the bench with all the positions he played. He's very steady, and he's probably one of the better crossers on the team. It'll be a loss, but I don't think anything that's, you know, concerning.
Yeah. And what was the score of the game against Syracuse?
I believe it was 1-0.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carl Haworth scored again.
And we beat Montreal 1-0.
Mm-hmm. Carl Haworth.
FC Montreal.
No. Andrew Wiedemann scored that one.
In the first minute.
Yeah.
And then there was the other two games, one against Rochester, which was a draw. And what was the other game? I don't remember already.
TFC2.
How can you forget TFC2?
Yes, we had Namu won last week.
And Namu, all the updates. Mm-hmm. So undefeated in the preseason, and there's one more preseason game, which is going on right now as we record.
So it's still 0-0.
So
as far as we know.
As far as we know. They're playing Wake Forest down in Carolina.
Yeah, the team left yesterday. And they're in the sunny-er, not John Sunny, but Carolina Sunny.
Yeah. So hopefully we go preseason undefeated.
And, like, let's just mention that Carl Haworth is having a fantastic preseason. Like, he scored most of the goals, like 70% of the goals.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, super confident. So that looks really promising going into the season.
And I've read four or five really in-depth. We're going to get into this in the next segment. But I've read four or five really in-depth team-by-team analysis of this season for the NASL. And no one has picked Haworth as the player to watch. And he's really shined in this preseason.
Yeah, it's a problem, but it's a good problem for Mark DeSantos in that he has Oliver and Paolo Jr. and now Haworth doing really well. How do you fit him in?
Right, yeah, and I was talking to a friend of the show, Carlos, and he was saying, where are the goals come from? But we're starting to see it now. They're starting to see a little bit, so... There's some hope there. I don't think we'll be the highest scoring team in the league, but I don't think we'll be Indy 11 either. So,
no, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see the goals off the wing from Oliver and Haworth, but you really want to see the scoring from the two guys up front, Heinemann and Wiedemann.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Heinemann will see 15 goals, but yeah.
Which was his prediction for himself. Perhaps tongue-in-cheek, but...
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll take a little break and we'll come back and we'll talk about what things have been happening in the league a little bit, and we'll talk about the national team, and we'll look at Carolina.
This is Nicky Patterson, and you're listening to Ours is the Fury.
Welcome back. Thanks, Nicky, for doing that. We actually have an interview with Nicky later in the episode, so stick around for that. Kendra got to do an extensive interview, and she wrote an article as well, which is on the Stony Monday Riot site. So you go to stonymondayriot.com/blog. Kendra has a pretty in-depth article. Mm-hmm. Well over 10,000 words.
He's a storyteller and had some great stories to tell. So it might be a little bit of a read, but it's very interesting. So that's up at stonymondayriot.com.
And we'll have an audio interview by the end of this show. So now we want to talk about the NASL, what's happening in the league, because there hasn't been any games yet, so we might as well go a little more in-depth in the league. The biggest news, I think, is the TV deal. So ESPN3 and TSN Go in Canada.
That just kind of came out of nowhere. I know ESPN3, it's not a channel, it's more of a streaming service in the States, and TSN Go here in Canada, the same thing. ESPN3 had, like, game of the week, quote-unquote, last year, but it just came out of nowhere that they were going to show, like, every game.
Well, I'm at ease, finally, that I'm going to be able to see the games, because I enjoy watching the Fury Road games, obviously, but I also like checking out, you know, the mm-hmm. other games. Like, I want to see Tampa Bay play Fort Lauderdale and games like that.
Yeah, and it's just, like, NASL just went from, you know, last year in that crappy system they had to pay for it, and then you could stream it to, like, a national broadcasting service.
Yeah, like a pretty like major ESPN online, like, so it's exciting. I guess all the Fury home games and away games can be streamed from their website, but yes, you can watch them after the fact on TSN Go. Is that?
I'm not sure with that. I know the Fury games, both home and away games, will be on at the OttawaFury.com. Home games will be on Rogers 22 still. I believe the away games, and maybe even the home games, are going through YouTube. There'll be a YouTube embedded stream. So I do believe they do archive.
Okay.
I'm not sure about the TSN or ESPN3 Go archives, because I've never used those services, but I wouldn't put it past out.
Yeah, because usually NASL, they'll have four games on a Saturday and one on a Sunday, and they usually start all at the same time. So they're usually 7:30 starts or 7 o'clock starts, except for this week. We start the season at 1 o'clock, and everyone else is at 7:30. So that's pretty good, though. I'm looking forward to hooking up TSN Go. It works with like the Apple TV and all these things, so I'm pretty excited for that. I've been reading a lot of previews, and I believe you wrote one yourself.
Yep, I wrote a preview for Northern Pitch. They asked me to do a Q&A kind of. I did, and it didn't go well for the Fury, but
So Northern Pitch is a Minnesota-based soccer blog, right? Were you just telling them what they wanted to hear? Is that what was happening?
No, I was pretty honest, as I usually am. But and not to go too into depth into it, but a lot of teams have really stocked up this year, and the Fury hadn't until the De Guzman signing. The article I wrote was pre-De Guzman signing.
Yeah, everything now is pre-De Guzman, post-De Guzman.
Whether he puts him over the top and into like championship status is, you know, debatable, but it definitely improved it.
Yeah. One of the ones I really enjoy reading is Steven Sandor. He wrote a big piece, and it was he was predicting FC Edmonton to make it to the Soccer Bowl, which
I find that a bit surprising, but
I think they've improved.
Yeah.
And they did. You were saying they did do very well last season at the end of the season. But
in the Soccer Bowl.
Yeah, in the Soccer Bowl, they've added some offense, right? Yeah. See, they added some defenders.
Okay.
Kept their core together.
Yeah, I was on. Happy to be on. Blog Talk Radio, the soccer is a New York kind of soccer blog/radio broadcast. I was the Fury representative, and Steve was the Edmonton representative, and he predicted Edmonton would win the spring season.
Yeah, and it wasn't a moment of madness because he was also on another podcast, the Two Solitudes podcast with Dwayne and mm-hmm. Kevin, and he said the same thing there. So he's
there was a few there. I mean, they had there's a rep for each team, and there's a few reps there that were positive. Kind of like Edmonton could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, it's a short, the spring season is pretty short. The trip to Edmonton is pretty brutal, especially early on in the year when it's still pretty cold out.
Right.
Their schedule is structured a lot like ours is this year with the Women's World Cup. So they have a lot of games in a row. So they can just kind of sit back at home and not do a lot of traveling.
I think they have 6 weeks at home or something.
Yeah.
Something
like that. What? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, we're close. We're 5 out of 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's possible. They're definitely one of the better teams in the fall last year. Lance Lang is probably one of the better players in the league. But I don't think he was really taken into account the cup games this year, the cup games between us.
Right.
And if they get past us, Vancouver, that's 4 additional games.
Right.
Which is up.
Which conflict with the NASL schedule, too. They'll have to move games.
No, they're usually on the Wednesdays, are they not?
No, but the game against Vancouver conflicts with the NASL schedule.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But it's still an extra game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're definitely will be better than last spring, because last spring they were dreadful. But they're, our team to look out for this year.
And another one I was reading was Ben Massey's piece on Maple Leaf Forever. Really good piece. He went through all the teams, went in details, a lot of stats. It's worth checking out. One that shocked me, though, I got to point out the one that shocked me, was Indy 11 to be third place overall.
That is over-optimistic. Like, I think overly optimistic. Indy was last year?
No,
they
Atlanta?
Were not.
Atlanta was last. And then Indy, right?
Yeah, and Atlanta's picked to be last by most people this year. We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. We'll compare everyone's.
So from second last to third. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Yeah, they definitely improved in the fall season.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've done enough in the off season to really merit a playoff spot or even like third overall.
It's pretty optimistic.
Yes.
Well, I just encourage everyone to read as many of these as you can and inform yourself about the players. And there's a lot of MLS, former MLS players come to NASL this year. A lot of national team players from like Honduras and Guatemala and even a couple former Mexican national team players. And we all know the big Spanish national team players in the league. So it's pretty interesting. Speaking of new teams, Jacksonville's starting to show their true colors, starting to lose badly.
Ooh.
In preseason.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of went a different way in the offseason before their first season than the Fury did. Is they started extremely early. They played a lot of top teams, like they played Philly Union in their first game. They're playing a lot of NASL teams. And, they're starting to lose, and I think a young team coming into a new league and a tough league like the NASL is, and you're lacking confidence because you're losing games, is not how you want to start a franchise.
Yeah, like, off the field, they look amazing, all the operations-wise and everything.
They're a new Indy this year, I think. Yeah, they can probably compete with Indy this year, attendance wise, and
yeah,
but on the field, I mean, you don't know, but I think they're gonna have trouble. I think Jacksonville last place isn't out of the question.
And a lot of people were saying mid-table just a few weeks ago, but after these two terrible losses, like 5-goal losses.
Yeah, I think the league is just too tough. If you're not a New York Cosmos team coming in halfway through the season, you really shouldn't have any expectations to compete right away.
Right away, yeah. And course, we heard the big news about Minnesota United. It's all official now. Don Garber floated down into St. Paul, anointed everyone. Minnesota United is going to MLS 2018 season. I like Peterson's approach. He turned it into a good story.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, like, look, part of the NASL, your team grows, is a good business to be in. How do you think we'll do without Minnesota in the league in a couple of years?
Well, I mean, just to kind of back up to that, I just think that, like, to me, this kind of feels a little bit, not fake, but it kind of feels a little bit like there's something that ingenuous about it. Like, it doesn't feel like...
sincere?
Like sincere or genuine. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's some sort of ulterior motive, and it just feels weird, like, the whole deal to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just that I don't trust the MLS, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, MLS is pretty, you know, pretty sketchy when it comes to these things. But being said that, I mean, it was Minnesota's kind of decision.
That's true.
Maybe they didn't have that decision because if they didn't get it, then they probably would have given it to the NFL.
The Vikings.
Minnesota, yeah. You know, it's going to be, it's a tough loss. I mean, Minnesota is, you know, one of the better teams, one of the better franchises in the league.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what Peterson is saying is that, hey, if you want, like, there's, you know, we're just not a team leaving. It's a team leaving to the MLS. So, you know, we're not having teams fold. We're having teams essentially being, you know, quote unquote, promoted to the MLS. So it does, you know, I think it reassures some, you know, potential investors on teams.
Right. The NASL hasn't, Crystal Palace, Baltimore, I think, was like the last. So there's not too many teams that fold. They don't get off the ground sometimes, like the Calvary.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? And there's a lot of issues there. They jump the gun announcing teams, maybe. But I know following the USL, I can think of seven teams off the top of my head, like, just in the last few years that have disappeared. And to compare the two leagues, it's not realistic, because one team's average 500 fans, and the other one's 4,000 or 5,000 fans, you know?
Yeah, well, between the MLS and the NASL, like, last team folded, it was in the MLS.
Yeah, and Chivas.
Yeah.
Chivas is not a success story. And, yeah, there is some success stories in the USL. A new team in Louisville, they're doing averaging 4,000 or 5,000 their first couple games. And Oklahoma, it's doing well, the energy.
Sacramento,
20,000. So,
yeah.
So,
I mean, what are you thinking if you're Sacramento? Like, MLS, kind of for the longest time, was saying if you want an MLS team, you have to come to the USL.
Yeah.
And now Sacramento is crushing attendance records, and then, oh, the new team? Okay, we'll give it to Minnesota.
Yeah. It's interesting. And then San Antonio is another one that's in the talks. And as of today, there's been some couple big stories. Of course, we all know the Chicago Sting group. That's a real thing, apparently, and there's been discussions. And the San Francisco team has been in discussions again this week. But the big story was that Peterson was on Soccer Morning this morning and TSN Radio, Corner Kicks.
Really?
Yeah, and he was talking about expansion into Canada. And he pretty much said Calgary, Hamilton.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but he ignored the question of the Canadian League again, kind of walked around it. But
yeah,
there's probably be lots written tonight about it. It was just news this morning.
I didn't get a chance to listen to that, but I heard, you know, some of the comments on Twitter. Chicago, San Fran, always kind of in the mix. Hamilton's always kind of that team. Calgary's kind of a new one. It's interesting with Edmonton. And Hartford's always in there. There was some news out of Hartford.
And Winnipeg was mentioned again, which probably CFL related.
Mm.
So, But there's definitely things happening. He said 18 teams in the next 3-4 years the league wants to be at. So we're at 11 now. We're losing one. That's 8 new teams in the next 3 years. That seems pretty ambitious, but he said he has interest from 10 or more markets right now.
I mean, it's good. It's good to see that, you know, right off the bat of losing Minnesota, that all the news is now teams that want to come in.
Yeah, I just, you know what, I'm watching MLS this year. The quality is way down. It seems more watered down, and I'm worried about that. I know soccer is international sport and player pool's huge, but I just don't see the quality staying up if NESL adds 8 teams and the MLS adds a couple more. I just don't see the quality staying there.
But. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough for the MLS to get players, like, kind of like lower to mid-range players to come play for them, because the collective bargaining agreement is so, you know, so restricting on what they can pay players. And if there's, you know, healthy teams in the NASL, you can pay just as much, or if not a little bit more, then you go there. I mean, I don't think the draw to play in the, you know, top team, you know, the top league in North America is really that strong of a pull to get players to not sign.
But does everyone want to play in LA or New York, right? People don't want to play in Columbus. They don't want to play in Ottawa or Edmonton.
Or Minnesota.
It's a nice town. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I'd be curious to see what our listeners have to say about it. You can always find us on Twitter. It's at Ottawa Fury. Or you can email us. It is, make sure I get this right, because
we don't use our email very often, apparently, because we don't know what
it is. We check it often, but John made it, and, you know, he made it so long. Ours is thefurypodcast@gmail.com.
That is a long email address.
It is a long email address, yeah.
If you're typing that out, ours is the Fury, anyway.
Yeah, I don't have an attention span for that. But, yeah, let us know what you think about what's going on in the NASL. Anything you think we should talk about that you want to hear us talk about. Because we read everything, and it's just we only got so much time in a week. So
send us some funny cat videos if you really have nothing to do.
I'd like to see funny cat videos.
You've opened up a can of worms.
Yay!
So we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the national team very quickly. And preview Carolina.
You're listening to Ours is the Fury, your number one source for all things Ottawa Fury FC.
Welcome back. We're just going to go over the Canadian national team scores really quick. Had a win over Guatemala. They played really well, 1-0, in front of 6 people.
In Florida.
Really?
In
Florida. And a very, very windy day. good game. Julian played well. That's what matters. And Canada won. The other game, we destroyed Puerto Rico, 3-0, which kind of expected result. I didn't expect 3 goals and goals from open play, but
We'll take it.
The games are up on YouTube. They're archived there. So if you want to see Julian play.
Yeah, I believe De Guzman hit a post in the Puerto Rico game, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and he doesn't score a lot. Like, he's only scored 3 times in league play, but he comes up big in the big games. He's one of those players. So check that out. Tim, you have some PLSQ news, eh, about our...
Yeah, I mean, the PLSQ announced just kind of under the radar this morning or this afternoon. The schedule, so I guess with the Women's World Cup, it's kind of all over the place. So the Fury, the Academy team, the U19 reserve team, whatever you want to call it, they'll be playing at, there's a Ravens Road Field at Carlton U. They'll be playing at Keith Harris Stadium for a game. They'll be playing at TD Place for a couple of games, and I think after the World Cup, the remainder of their games will be played at Algonquin.
Okay, so they have 4 homes.
Yeah.
And that's the PLSQ's Division 3 Canadian soccer. And we're going to have I guess a youth team kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of like a PLSL, whatever, Q, whatever, league. I guess those teams have reserve teams.
Okay.
So our academy, our reserve team has a reserve team. I think it's mostly the under-17s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the U19, I guess. The senior academy is U19. They're going to play in PLSQ, and then the U17, which is the academy, junior academy, will play in the PLSQ reserves.
Which, yeah, and the PLSQ, which isn't all 19-year-olds. It's there's a lot of former Montreal Impact players in the league, a lot of 37-year-old aging stars in the league. It's pretty good. Pretty good soccer. The winner of the PLSQ will play the winner of League One Ontario. So they're starting to build the pyramid there. So if you get a chance to...
Yeah. We have a local derby with FC Gatineau plays in the league.
Yeah. I have to choose a side. So
what's it going to be, Shane?
Yeah. So, yeah. So check out the Fury teams in the PLSQ.
Yeah, unfortunately, we were saying before that hopefully that they'd kind of... run the games back-to-back between the Fury senior team and the academy team, but that's not going to happen. The two games at TD Place are non-Fury game days, but I believe they'll be double-headed with the reserve team. And I hope they opened it up. I hope it's not closed doors. That would be kind of brutal.
Yeah, hopefully it's open. You can go in.
But it's very exciting to see, you know, more teams to watch.
Yeah. Now we have three professional clubs in Ottawa area. Ottawa, Gatineau. Okay, big game this weekend, 1:00 Eastern time. If you want to watch the game, Stony Monday Riot's going to be down at, where are we?
The Heart and Crown on Preston Street.
Yeah, maybe show up a little before 1:00. The game's at 1:00. We got the whole front of the bar.
So there's a big screen TV out there, like a big screen that comes down from the ceiling, and it'll be a good place. If you're just waking up at around 1:00 on Saturday, they have really good coffee.
They serve breakfast late.
And they do serve breakfast late.
Yes.
I believe.
Okay, soccer.
Yeah, and don't think you can say Easter's a problem because there's no such thing as Easter Saturday.
Right.
It's just regular Saturday.
It's just regular Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Carolina, big game Monday, start of the NASL season. What do we know about them?
They're old.
They are old. It's true. One of the older average age in the league, older teams. But does that mean they have more experience? Or does that just
they
mean
definitely
slower?
Have more experience.
Yeah.
But they're slower, too. They're missing a few players. Kier Fitzgerald, their kind of standout keeper, went to New York City FC or Manchester City 2, however you want to call it.
Yankees. Yankee soccer.
Yeah, they kind of flew under the radar this year. They haven't done as much as a lot of other teams have done. Nacho Nowu, they got last year. Of course, the Rangers stand out.
Mm.
He's back for another year. He's kind of old.
Yeah, he had a pretty good career in Europe. So he's on a retirement contract. But what I find interesting is... they've only had 4 weeks of preseason.
Yeah, instead of going Jacksonville, Cosmos, United. Route of having 2 months, two or more months of preseason, they just kind of went a month, and I think they played four or five preseason games. I think maybe one or two of those games are out of state for them, so they kind of kept it low key, which I think is good. I think. You know, it's nice to go to Hong Kong, it's nice to go to Portugal, it's nice to go to England, all those places, but the NASL season's a long season.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe they're making the right move by keeping it short. They're not all beat up and injured like we are right now in the preseason. One advantage that they might have is Colin Clark, their coach, their manager, is one of the best in the NASL. He's tons of experience all over North America. I was just wondering, who would you say the best managers in the NASL are?
Colin Clark is definitely up there. I would like to say Mark DeSantos, but he's only been here for a year.
Right.
The team didn't really do better than they should have. But I think this year will be very telling on how well Mark DeSantos does. I think Alan Marcina in San Antonio is, for my money, the best coach in the league. I mean, he came in last year to a San Antonio team that finished last in the fall season in 2013, and they came and they won the soccer bowl.
Right, he's Canadian, too,
He is Canadian.
And one that always comes up is Minnesota United's manager, Manny Lagos, right? Tons of experience all over the board in the States. So
yeah, that, but you look at that team, and that's a team that should be up there.
They're stacked. I could manage that team, maybe.
Yeah. You, Ramirez, scored 19 goals a year.
Yeah.
Ibarra, you know.
Rodriguez. Players I'm worried about on San Antonio, on Carolina. Shipilani. If you've been watching the NASL the last 4 years, the Shipilani guy, he's one of those people that know the league, know him. Then our defender should be, like, locked on him. But if you're kind of new to the NASL in the last couple of years, this guy, I have always compared him to Wondolowski, kind of like this unsung hero. Sneaky little bugger, gets a lot of goals. Someone, you look at him, you're like, he won't score a lot of goals. And then as soon as he gets the ball, he's dangerous.
Yeah, Mark Anderson, who came from Fort Lauderdale, he was injured most of last season. He's very talented, and he's also a very, very good NASL player.
Yeah, and they got Wells Thompson. If you're familiar, if you've been watching a lot of MLS, he played for the Revolution, the Fire, the Rapids. He spent last year down with the Charlotte Eagles before they disappeared, and now he's back up in Division Two. So he's someone on the rebound and has something to prove. So he's kind of like their Nicky Patterson.
Yeah, and a guy like Neil Hulivati coming over from SC Edmonton, not a guy who's like a standout or is really flashy, but he's just a really solid midfielder.
Yeah. And a couple other players is Portland Timber fans will know this guy. He played 100 games for them, 60 in the MLS and the rest in the old A-League. Footy Danso.
I keep reading that as Fatty Danso.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't gain weight in his later years because, yeah. And so that's an easy one.
It's a nickname too, Footy. It's not his like legal name.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So he played last year with Montreal. He only got three starts with Montreal, but I remember him for Portland, and he was a major player on their back line there. So I don't know. I think we got the speed on Carolina, like up front. I know that sounds weird to say, but with Paulo and Oliver, if we start them and Howarth maybe.
Yeah, I mean. They have a pretty older defense. It's very thin.
Yeah. Speaking of thin, Tommy Heinemann.
He's very fit.
He's very fit.
As well as what I've been told. yeah, the problem with Carolina is they're so tough at home.
It's true. How many games was it last?
Like 23 games.
Undefeated at home. Streak.
Broken by Indy.
Broken by Indy 11. But they beat LA Galaxy at home. They beat Chivas at home.
I think in the U.S. Open Cup, they've beaten the Galaxy, I believe, 3 years in a row now.
Wow.
I think they beat Chivas two years in a row. And some other MLS teams, too. They're just very strong at home. And last year, the only game we played there, they absolutely crushed us.
That was our worst loss.
That was literally the worst loss we had. So it's not easy going to Carolina. First game, I don't know if that helps us or not.
Yeah. The only thing my only pre-scouting thing is I noticed their defenders are all older and slow. Mm-hmm. So, but in the midfield, we look equal, maybe stronger if we start to Guzman. Keeping goalkeeper, we're way ahead of them.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be playing Pizer for sure. Pretty sure. Looks like Pizer's been.
Yeah, I don't know much of Brian Silvestri. He's from the Whitecaps Academy, but.
Yeah.
I don't think he compares with Roman Pizer.
And their. Yeah. And their other player was from the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. What was his name? Hunter Gilstrap.
Yeah.
And he was in the USL Pro. He's an older guy, though. He's the more experienced keeper. Mm-hmm. So I expect to see him start for Carolina. And so I think we have him beat in most of the field. But you never know. They're so strong at home. So that game is this weekend.
Yeah.
1:00, Heart and Crown, Preston Street. Apparently there's a big TV that comes out of the ceiling, so that's exciting.
Ooh, a ceiling TV.
Ceiling TV. So So yeah, check it out. And the game will apparently be on the Ottawa Fury website too. So if you're not in the Ottawa area, go to OttawaFuryFC.com. Check that out. Okay, we're going to wrap things up here soon. We just have one special treat left for you, and we'll let Kendra introduce it.
I guess a week and a half now ago, I sat down with Nicky Patterson and was talking about his career. And of course, he's Scottish, grew up in Motherwell, and played his formative years in Scotland, and then made the big jump to the United States. And so we got to talking about that kind of stuff, and he ended up playing at the University of Las Vegas, actually, with Mason Trafford. And so I asked him about all that stuff, and that's what you'll hear about now. Ended up in the United States after. How did that come about?
Well, after Motherwell, I signed for Hamilton. I made my pro debut there when I was 17, so that was a huge deal for me. That was obviously the biggest moment in my career up till then. And over the course of three seasons, I played for three different coaches. They were in a little bit of financial trouble in my final year, and the club decided to go part-time. So rather than training every day and a game at the weekend, we trained two nights a week at the weekend. And everybody's salaries kind of got halved. So it was a difficult 6 months, and at that point I decided I wanted to either be full-time somewhere or maybe pursue something in the States. And there was basically a trial game at Rangers Training Academy, where all the American coaches came over and watched. And the day of the trial, the team I played for won 4-0, and I scored three of them. So it was, I couldn't have went any better that day. And at that point, I met a few coaches from the States, and it came about that I went to UNLV from that moment.
Very cool. So how was the development experience different in the States versus Scotland?
I mean, obviously moving to Vegas was fun, but.
Yeah.
But for me, I honestly thought it would be just maybe a fun year or 6 months where I would go there, switch off from being in the being in Scotland, and then go back to either Scotland or England. That was my intention. And it was a very difficult moment going to Vegas for the soccer side of things, because I mean, I hadn't been at high school for years. To go back to college was difficult in itself. But like, football was my life, and training was, everything was intense, whereas a lot of these guys did it for the scholarship or as a club. It wasn't their life, they weren't getting paid to play anymore, so I didn't really know what I was getting myself into at first. And the first year the team wasn't the most professionally ran, to be honest with you, in my opinion, but it quickly changed with a new coach, and the guys that he brought in. I mean, I ended up staying there for 4 years, so I obviously enjoyed it, but it was a completely different life.
Mm-hmm. So there are some rumors about Las Vegas getting a pro team. Do you think that could happen, like with the supporters culture and like the culture of soccer culture that they have there?
I mean, if you go out in Vegas, you see there's soccer fields everywhere.
Okay.
Kids are playing everywhere. There's games going on all over the place, and it's a huge soccer community. But I mean, I've heard a lot of rumours that it's hard, very difficult to have professional teams in Vegas because, you know what I mean, like, there's a lot of things happened in the past with match fixing, and there's a lot of influence on the strip and stuff like that. But to be honest with you, I think it would be a place, it's a great climate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to do, there's the best restaurants and hotels and stuff like that in the world. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to go there and play an away game? I'm sure it would be great.
Yeah.
And I mean, even to live there, I mean, I've done it for a few years. That might not be everyone's cup of tea, but it'd be a good place. I don't think it'll ever happen. I think there's so many good cities, but I mean, I would play in Vegas again.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so then after Las Vegas, it was the Harrisburg City Islanders. How was that experience, and how did that come about?
It was a weird one. I was in my last semester of college, and to be honest with you, at one point I didn't even think I was going to stay there, like I said, and then all of a sudden it was, okay, I'm going to graduate, and then all of a sudden I was kind of getting to my senior year, and I was like, okay, what's going to be next? And obviously, for me, it was always professional soccer again, so I was again, will I wait and graduate and come home in the summer and sign in Europe somewhere? Or, and then I get invited to the Combine, and there was some interest from a few MLS clubs, at the time, and I spoke to a few like general managers and stuff about MLS teams, and I didn't know much about USL, to be honest with you. I got asked to join a couple of clubs, and I wasn't really too sure. And then I basically got a phone call from the head coach at Harrisburg, where a few guys I knew were playing there, and I don't know, just one phone call kind of changed things. I had to go and ask a few of my professors, would they give me a grade just to leave early, and they gave me them, so I was kind of lucky. And my mum and dad, and my brother especially, were quite annoyed because they were going to come and see me walk. And my brother had just turned 21, so he was desperate to come to Vegas, and I had to tell him, by the way, I know I'm going to go to Harrisburg, so my brother came to Harrisburg for his summer holidays instead of Vegas. So. But yeah, that was, it just all kind of happened really, really quickly, to be honest.
Well, thanks, Kendra, for that interview. Nicky Patterson, it's pretty enlightening. I feel bad for his brother.
Sorry.
Having to go to Harrisburg City.
Yeah.
Harrisburg is kind of like Vegas, though. Think about it really, really hard.
Poor guy.
If you drink enough, it's kind of like
Vegas. Yeah. The
it's
lights.
Like Amish Vegas.
Amish Vegas.
Actually, Nicky Patterson was our very first signing.
Yeah.
Very first signing. There was nothing, actually. He mentioned that in later on in the interview.
He just showed up, and
it's
just
him.
There
was no stadium. There was just him and Mark DeSantos, and that was the beginning of the Fury, so.
Wow. So Kendra typed out the whole interview, and it's on stonymondayriot.com, and if you just click on the blog section, it's there. Well, I guess that's it for this week. Anyone got anything to add before we shut her down?
Namu and I will be doing a Fury review on Reddit tomorrow. I think it's getting posted tomorrow, so
same
go check
time
that out.
As this, probably. Well, okay, check it. So it's reddit.com/r/NASL soccer.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Easy website to remember. John, we miss you.
Yeah.
Hope you're having fun.
In
don't,
the sun.
Don't come back sunburned.
Jerk.
Stay hydrated.
Bring presents.
See you next week.
Toodles.
Bye. Make you move while there's still time. Nuances as you die. Each end must be begin. Start with a goodbye. Put the bridges to the
Don Garber, could you give us your impressions of Minnesota?
Yeah, it's so hip. The dark clouds are so cool. The stadium's going to be at the farmer's market. So many bicycles. There's more bicycles in Brooklyn. Minnesota. Awesome, dude.